Are you thinking about buying or selling a house, or just want to know what might be going on with one of your biggest investments? Then come hang out with us for a little while. Hi, I'm Kirk Duckwall, and welcome to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. We are sponsored by Bricks Real Estate, Network Title, Chad Preby and Eric Blumstrand with Bell Bank Mortgage, Structure Tech Home Inspections, James Tolson with Country Financial, Cregan's Construction, and Gray Duck Staging and Design. Today, I have Jilly Jenkins. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
As always, Chad Preby.
Thank you.
We are talking today about Halloween. Some of the more scary things that we see happening. If you want to check out any of our past shows, make sure you go to TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. Also, you'll find our market updates there, our market minutes, as well as our free publications, the Smart Seller Book, the Smart Home Buyer Book. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, they're great resources, free for you to download, no registration or anything, just really good tools, as well as the Bricks Report. So yeah, Halloween episodes. It's been a few years since I've done one of these. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I thought, first off, we'd talk a little bit about what does the market typically do post-Halloween. And so, you know, usually this is the two slowest months of the year that we're going to experience in the Twin Cities real estate market for sellers. For buyers, you can expect that you are going to have some more negotiating power, at least in the early stages of this market. So November, early December is a really good time. However, you're not going to necessarily have as much inventory to choose from.
Not as many options.
Right. You'll see still heavy competition on those really great looking listings in, you know, where the everything kind of lines up, right? It's the hot location. It's the hot price point. You know, the marketing was done really well. And those homes will still go into multiple offers, you know, as long as they were priced right. However, you will see more homes spending more time on market. And if I was a buyer out there, those are the ones that I would focus on. If you're a seller and you must sell during this time of year, you know, make sure that your agent and yourself are planning out getting that listing ready and the timing of that. And you may have snow to deal with as well during this time of year. And one of the big mistakes when timing out a listing is do not put a home on the market if you know an impending snowstorm is coming the next day.
Although the buyers looking in a blizzard, which I have done, are very serious.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My personal experience is whatever buyer takes me out on the worst day of the year never actually buys anything.
Oh, really? Yeah. I have the opposite. Huh, funny. And I love this time of year because specifically vacant homes, when they're going to have to be winterized, you're going into the heating season, higher cost to let it sit. That's when I get my buyers in there. I feel like it's an easier time to make it happen.
You bring up a great point for sellers. If you do have that vacant house, you know.
You got to prepare.
Yeah. What is it?
Winterizing
68 is not so great. Not so great. 74, it'll sell for more. So when it's cold outside, don't drop your temperature to try to save a few dollars and cents because buyers will come in from the cold and they'll still be cold and they'll wonder if something's wrong with the heating system. A lot of vacant homes, they'll drop that temperature down to 60, even sometimes 55 degrees.
Yeah. It's
crazy. You spend that extra $50, $100 to heat it up and keep it toasty, then somebody comes in and wants to stay in that house.
You don't want to have a house that someone wants to leave the second they get in.
No, absolutely not.
Exactly. Yeah, I was talking to somebody and, you know, like you mentioned, Kirk, you know, houses are on the market for a longer period of time.
Yes.
That doesn't necessarily mean if you're a buyer, you're going to get a better deal on that house. But I think what you want to prepare yourself for is sellers are more willing to take that, maybe that first offer. So if you are a buyer out there, put your best foot forward still. Doesn't mean that because there's not many multiple offers, you still want to make a strong offer because it's more likely that seller is going to take that first offer.
Right. A couple things come into play. One is, if it's priced appropriately, and that's the thing is list price isn't really necessarily an accurate reflection of value.
Right.
So you want to make sure it's priced appropriately for the market as a seller, but as a buyer, if you see that thing time on market, yeah, if a price reduction just happened, the seller probably isn't going to take a lower dollar amount.
Right.
Or this time of year, yeah, a home might sit on the market for 5, 7, 10 days before it gets an offer. And what you don't want to have happen is be used as a bait offer.
Right.
You know, which, right. which, you know, that happens where somebody puts in a really low ball offer and now that's used as leverage to drive other offers up. Okay. Well, yeah. So, we're going to get into in our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the disclosure laws that you're going to want to know here in Minnesota regarding, let's say mysterious things,
hauntings.
Mystical things, in state of Minnesota. So we'll get to that. But today we're going to kind of have some fun and talk a bit about, you know, some of our experiences going through so many homes and some of the favorite mm-hmm. things that we've seen out there.
I'm excited.
Now, right off the bat, I mean, I'll call it out right away. I go in a lot of basements. And so, you know, really, I call myself like a glorified spider web cutter, you know, I go downstairs and there's just spider webs.
I learned to
everywhere.
Do this.
Yeah.
As you
exactly.
walk.
Right. So, you go down and you make your way through that mess and, it can be dirty. It can be messy. I actually haven't seen anything really all that creepy in some of those basements.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, oh, that reminds me of a horror movie, but it's not, nothing really weird has happened.
Yeah.
When I haven't even seen like a dead mouse going down there. That said, I have seen some pretty odd things in basements where the basement was fine. Overall, it was relatively clean. So, there's the example of
not relatively clean.
Well, that was the one where, you know, cutting through the spider webs, making my way down. That's one I actually visited not terribly long ago. I come across basements like that all the time.
Yeah.
But then I get to probably one of the just
eerie.
Eerie, whatever, is this basement. I get down the stairs and there's this child swing.
Mm.
All by itself in the middle of this empty basement. That was it. That was the only thing in there. And
that's the last place a child's going to choose to hang out, right?
Yeah, that one you just turn around and go back upstairs.
Well, so I mean, immediately I thought of like, you know, like the Goonies, the kid that was locked in the basement, right?
Yeah.
Sloth. Right?
Yeah. Was that what
I think that was?
I believe so.
It was, yeah, the only thing sitting there in that basement was that swing. And I just imagine, like, you know, you go away and the swing just sits there, rocks itself.
Yeah. That's eerie.
Yeah, I get a little goosebumps.
Not a fan.
Oh. You ever any good basement moments?
I mean, one time I was in the basement with some clients looking at a property and we heard a bunch of people walk around on the main floor, and it's common before COVID, more common to have overlapping showings.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, I'll run up and let them know that, hey, we're down here. So we're not, you know, scaring them. And I go upstairs and there's nobody there. And I went back down and I must have had a look on my face. My clients go, there was no one up there, was there? And I was like, there wasn't. And they're like, we need to leave. So that was eerie. I can't really explain that. It was more than one person. It was a group walking around on the main floor.
Wow.
But no one was there. So I don't know.
That would give me.
They weren't interested. They're like, we're done with this house.
This time is our next showing.
Yeah.
time to move on.
Right.
Is it going down a stair? You were telling me about like
the squirrel.
I've never even like I did see a squirrel run once up in an attic, but I have never like I said, I haven't even seen like a dead mouse in the basement. Yeah.
I was going up to an attic, which was like an open, unfinished attic that had a, you know, the door where you find it and it's a closet, and then it has the stairwell that you flip up the access. And so that we were going up the narrow stairwell and I stepped on something on the way up the stairs, thinking it was like a rolled up t-shirt or like a towel. And then on the way down with the client, I realized I had just fully stomped a dead squirrel.
Oh,
yeah. And I wanted to puke.
Yeah.
She was cracking up.
Good thing you didn't slip on that squirrel.
I know. It's so gross. But you see that in unfinished attics.
Oh, where
it's
sure.
Like squirrels, birds, mice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It's gross.
Well, abandoned attics are one of, actually, I enjoy them because yeah. they're like little time capsules.
Yeah.
I wish I had some pictures to share, but you know, a lot of times you'll have somebody who, you know, maybe it was family and it's been a family house and they had that third floor finished off. And then somewhere, I mean, I've seen it go back as early as the 20s. Where it was abandoned, and then more often into the 50s, right? You go up to that third floor or a half story, and it's, you know, it's got the wallpaper and,
oh, yeah.
that, you know, that from that the pastel mm-hmm. colors, the vinyl floors, whatever it might be, but it's been there for,
yeah.
you know,
it's like 7 untouched.
Years. You're trying to get that feeling. You're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like maybe you come across an old baseball card or something that's...
I haven't seen that. Yeah. yeah, but yeah, I mean, you get that that time capsule feeling. You know,
right.
It's a stepping back. One of the creepiest though, it wasn't an abandoned attic. It was one I go up and I had to move a couple of black plastic bags out of the way to go into
yeah.
this room, and there was that like. 15-watt flickering light bulb,
ooh.
You know, and the windows were blacked out. And I'm just like,
what's going on here?
So yeah. when we come back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the fun stories, some of the things that we've seen, but get into some of the things that you need to know if you have any odd stuff going on in your house or buying a house that you might want to know. We'll be right back. Again, check us out, Twin Cities Real Estate Show.
Hi, I'm Ruben with Structure Tech Home Inspections. Everyone knows you should have a home inspection before you buy a home, but we've heard of home buyers being encouraged to skip the home inspection in this crazy market to make their purchase offer more attractive. Now they're facing tens of thousands of dollars in unexpected repairs. I'm telling you now, don't skip the home inspection. Here at Structure Tech, we can get your home inspected quickly, and we offer a full line of services. Visit us online at structuretech.com to learn more.
Don't fall for the billboards or the clickbait. There is no such thing as today's rate. Mortgages and mortgage rates are individual to you. Chad Preby and Eric Bloomstrand with Bell Bank Mortgage are here to show you the formula to get your best rate. Once you know this formula, you can mortgage shop with confidence. Find us online at chadpreby.com. That is chadpreby.com. NMLS 1462493, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Kurt Duckwall with Bricks Real Estate and the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Buying or selling a home is one of the biggest financial transactions people make. Before you make your next move, download our free smart home buyer or smart seller guides to give you the edge in our real estate market. From deal hunting to knowing the right repairs for maximizing value, these free guides have it all. Check them out and more at BricksTwinCities.com under publications.
Not every title company is the same. There are many people involved with each real estate transaction, and all of them need to be in the loop or a closing may get delayed. This is why the people at Network Title strive to provide swift scheduling and communication between the buyers, sellers, agents, and lenders. We know moving can be stressful, however, your closing does not need to be. Check us out online at network-title.com.
Back to the Twin Cities Real Estate Show. Joining me again in studio, Jillie Jenkins. Thanks for coming in.
Chad Preby.
Today we are talking about just some Halloween stories, some information that you want to know about this time of year in our Twin Cities real estate market as well. If you have any questions for us, you can always give us a call after the show, 651-303-0019. Again, 651-303-0019. Or if you just want more information, what's going on with our market, check us out online anytime at TwinCitiesRealEstateShow.com. There we have our free publications, The Smart Home Buyer, The Smart Seller, and The Bricks Report. So we were talking about, well, attics.
Yeah, basements.
Squirrels.
Unfortunately.
You had a good squirrel story, Jilly, about another squirrel find.
The closet.
The closet.
Doing a showing, and the little toddler, we were in the basement. It was a vacant home. And I think that the squirrel had got trapped in the closet. It came through some sort of piping from the exterior. But the toddler comes back in the room petting this dead squirrel that he had found in the closet.
No.
Yeah. Oh. Like petting it like it was his cat or something.
Yikes.
Yeah. The mother had a stroke.
Well, if you don't know right away, it's alive. Right?
Yeah.
Look what I found, Mom.
Squirrels.
So if you're showing someone a house and there's something that really, you know, maybe shouldn't be there, or it's an illegal activity going on, or is it an obligation as a realtor to maybe report that? Or,
well,
I would call up the listing agent, if I was showing it.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that's detrimental, harmful, you know, even if I think it's something that would, you know, not just detrimental or harmful to people or the property, but even sometimes the selling process, like, okay, this is beyond normal, in a sense. But I mean, yeah, on the hazardous piece, I mean, I've gone into a house where clearly the furnace went out, right? Or something
and
like that.
The gas smell.
Right, or a gas smell, something like that.
Sure.
You got to call on that.
Yep, call right away on that. And I've had other ones where, you know, somebody had left a shotgun sitting out next to the door. And it was like, okay, well, I mean, is it their right to do that? Absolutely. But how would somebody react to that? Is that safe?
Is it safe for having, like, you don't know if there's going to be kids? And
Yeah, as far as the creepy factor stuff, I mean, yeah, I brought a couple things to the attention. I think you were mentioning one about dolls.
Oh, the agent, the listing agent, it was my buyer, and the listing agent was very upset because he asked for feedback, and my clients didn't even want to stay in the property to show it because every perimeter of every single room was filled with porcelain, like ceramic dolls. Every inch of every nook and corner perimeter. And it was way worse than this. But that's enough for me. I'm not, dolls are not, it's like dolls and mice I can't handle.
Yeah. That's a little extreme though.
I don't think you're going to get the price for this home unless you remove the dolls. And he was so mad that I would say that. But my clients, I didn't say anything, but my clients were like, we got to get out of here. It's weirding me out.
Creeped him out.
I had one. This isn't so creepy, but it was chickens. And I counted up how many chickens in one room, like chicken figurines. And
okay.
The thing was, it was all over the house. I think in the kitchen, it was 13 chickens.
Wow.
Just in the
maybe
kitchen.
It's just the shows the obsession and that's the eerie part. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I have a story. Friend of ours, Chad Vandelot, said he was showing a house, and there was actually chickens in the basement.
Oh, interesting.
Chickens, and he thought maybe like there was a goat or something down there at one time. The house was like basically they made the basement into a chicken coop.
Right? Petting farm?
Oh, I was thinking like animal sacrifices or something.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, maybe that. You know, chicken fighting or whatever they do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you see it all as a realtor.
You do. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the doll thing definitely that gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I can't do dolls.
Yeah,
even as a kid, I never had a doll. I had stuffed animals.
So how about we move on the haunted side of things, right? Now we talk a bit about the creepy things. So in Minnesota, there's actually rules in other states regarding, you know, houses that may have paranormal or supernatural activities with them. So. Probably one of the weirdest, and this one wasn't so, it was an eerie cold sense. I went to do an open house on a property, and I get there, and it just seemed like something wasn't quite right, you know, and I don't know what it was the whole time I was at the home, and I went upstairs, and in this one room, it was just extra cold and extra creepy. And, you know, I was just, the best way to put it was, I was glad to be done with that open house, right? And it was like, you know, the one picture where it was ripped in half on the nightstand, like crooked pictures and like.
The vibe wasn't, the vibe was not fun.
No. It wasn't good.
No.
I've definitely done showings or open houses where you feel like someone's watching you the whole time and it's not a camera.
Well, that's
common.
That's the problem these days, right?
Yeah. It's like, yeah. There's cameras now.
That little friendly Ring doorbell is
Well, I mean, let's just say during the time where you know, almost all properties that required masks, Ring doorbells came in very handy in finding all the people and
that weren't doing it. Yeah,
violated that.
Oh, sure.
So not ghosts, but Ring doorbells.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, this wasn't a house you were showing, but a house you stayed at. That was one of the more creepy.
Yeah, my aunt and uncle had a house in St. Paul, beautiful old home. I mean, the thing was gorgeous. But as a kid, my aunt and uncle would tell us the place was haunted. The cabinets in the kitchen would open and shut. And so I had a sleepover, and my cousin was on the bottom of the bunk. I was on the top. And I kid you not, I woke up in a panic because I heard the cabinets creaking. So they would open and then slam.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, my God, they weren't lying. You know, so I sat there and I shook and I reached down to my cousin Neil. I'm like, hey, he goes, yeah, don't move. That's what we were telling you about. So
now what's the odds that it was your aunt and uncle downstairs opening and closing?
I hope so, because ever since that day, my life changed. I never believed in ghosts or paranormal activity, but to this day I do. And I'm like, that is, you know, and what you hear is sometimes it's friendly. And sometimes they're maybe angry,
yeah.
Right? So,
some of the tools that I carry. So when I got into this industry, I was doing kind of building and remodeling. So I had a whole bunch of tools, and I picked up other ones over the time. But some of these tools can also be used for ghost hunting, I've been told. Not that I've been going out ghost hunting.
like what?
Well, I brought one of them, and that's the...
I was wondering why that was sitting over
there.
Yes.
It's the electromagnetic field detector.
Oh, yes. For electricity?
Yeah, so like I can use this to find where wires run in walls if fixtures are hot fixtures or not. So is it just a burnt out bulb or is there something else that might be going on here? It's a pretty neat little tool. Or, you know, like how high voltage are the power lines that you're near, things like that.
Yeah.
Picks up all of that. Cool. But supposedly if there's a ghost around, it's supposed to, you know, maybe fluctuate a little bit there too. And also like a thermal camera, right? You see people running around with those thermal cameras. Not gonna lie, I was in a house one time and it was a little creepy and I'm like, pulled up the thermal camera.
No.
Did you see
nothing?
Anything?
Absolutely nothing.
You didn't see anything?
No.
Well, if you would have, I would lose it.
Well, I think I would have wrapped up that open house.
It's closed.
Call it a day.
So I don't know, have you ever had a Ouija board?
Yeah.
I refuse to play that game.
I will never again.
I've never gotten into it either, but I hear stories about that.
Mm-hmm. They run at the cabin.
That's kind of like that's your tool here. It's like an electronic Ouija board. You know, that thing starts moving. Watch out.
The problem is now I can make it move with a cell phone. So.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
A couple last ones. I want to get to these rules before we wrap up, but a couple other ones. Okay, so probably one of the weirder ones was I came across showing a house, and thank my clients for letting me use this picture, was a in the backyard, they had a pet cemetery and like a legitimate dog.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, lots of pets.
That's a lot of dead
pets. Yeah, that it is.
That's uncomfortable.
It was, you know, fall time, but I'm pretty sure this was a real pet cemetery.
Yeah, it looks real.
Yeah, you know.
There's even a rosary on one of them. Or on all of them.
Okay. And probably the creepiest one that I've seen ever was, and this, going down into a basement, and there was this headless mannequin.
No.
Oh.
Now, I happened to, I walked down the stairs, and I'm like, oh my gosh. This one threw me off. Now, I laughed. My clients heard me. They came down the stairs. They kind of were creeped out and saw it too. A person I know inspected this house as well, and he went back and it was dressed in different clothes the next day.
That's not okay. Dead
serious. Okay, so disclosure laws in states. So there's basically four states that have disclosure laws. In New York and New Jersey, if you're an owner of a home, you have to disclose if you have
any supernatural
things going on. Now, on the flip side of that, Minnesota, and I think it's Massachusetts, you don't have to disclose.
It's like written into the law.
Right. So all these haunted houses that were sitting there, you know, those owners, when they go to sell it, don't have to say anything. And, you know, because Casper can be friendly too, right?
Friendly ghosts and not so friendly.
So, well, kind of to recap, you know, if you're thinking about putting your home on the market this time of year as a seller, you know, I'd really take a good consideration of that and maybe waiting a couple extra months may be to your advantage. However, sometimes condos do a little better this time of year. So if you're looking at selling a condo, that could be a good time. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out 651-303-0019. We'll see everybody again next week. Take care.
Thank you.
You got me.
My name is James Tobson with Country Financial. Anyone can sell you insurance. However, is it going to be the insurance you need? When life pops up with its surprises, you want the right coverage. When it comes time to find or renew your policy, give me a call. I would love to review your existing policy and show you what I can do for you. You can email me at james.tobson@countryfinancial.com or give me a call at 651-365-3408.
Not every title company is the same. There are many people involved with each real estate transaction, and all of them need to be in the loop or a closing may get delayed. This is why the people at Network Title strive to provide swift scheduling and communication between the buyers, sellers, agents, and lenders. We know moving can be stressful, however, your closing does not need to be. Check us out online at network-title.com.
People always ask realtors, what is your commission? But what they should be asking is, what is your rate of return? Commissions only vary by a couple of percent from agent to agent. However, the price per square foot you get just based on their experience and the quality of marketing they use can vary by 10% or more. At Bricks Real Estate, our agents use the right marketing and have the experience to get you top dollar for your house. See what we can do for you at BricksTwinCities.com.